But anyway, what tonight's lesson is the crucified life part two. We started this 2 months ago from Galatians 5:24. Remember, this is our identity as Christians. So we started a couple of months ago, and we looked at faith and service. Faith and service is part of our Christian life, our crucified life. And tonight we're going to look at love. It's the heart of the gospel, as everybody knows. So go ahead and turn to Galatians 5:24 and 25. We'll read those. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the food that we just had, Father, for our bodies. And now, Father, we come to you and receive this food for our spirits also, Lord. And we thank you for the strength that you will give us according to your word, and the knowledge, the increase in knowledge that we need, Father, and the ability to do the things that we're about to learn tonight, Father. So, Father, thank you. We give you praise and glory for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, we started this 2 months ago. Remember, we had a video in between, and that's why it kind of got delayed. But Galatians 5:24 tells us, now those who belong to Christ Jesus, and that's everyone who is sitting right here, right now, have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. We will turn over this life of love is our identity as Christians. So turn to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So this is our identity. This is it. So like I said, we're looking at love tonight. This is one of the, is the heart of the gospel. And this is what we're supposed to be doing in the love part of it. Okay. It's just another wonderful, beautiful facet of our lives. If you think about it, the life that we now have it's wonderful. You can't find this life that we have, we've all been looking for all of our life. And it's been given to us now by our Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. So if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians 13, which you will know is the love chapter. And we're going to look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul begins with this in verse 1. He says, if I speak. So he begins, if I speak. Okay? You know, every time God speaks, it reveals something of himself in Christ. Every time we read the Bible and hear him speak to us, it always reveals something about him and his Son, Jesus Christ. And it should be the same with us. Every time we speak, we should be revealing Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, every time that we speak and whatever we do. It should be the same, like I said, with us. And we have an example of, they'll just look at verse 31 in chapter 12. We read this, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way. Okay? Everybody catch that? I show you a more excellent way. Right now, Paul is encouraging us and motivating us to find out what that way is. Amen? So and we're going to get into this here in just a minute. Now, agape love is not easy to understand. Eros love and philia love is. Those two kinds of love require something in return. But agape love is unconditional. It's not something that we have to do in return for it. Okay? A lot of Christians have gotten off on the wrong foot in that area. In their lives, including myself. We always thought we had to work our way, do great things for the body of Christ, and we don't have to. God's love is unconditional. It always has been. And that's the way we're supposed to be loving one another and those we come in contact with. I mean, it's very, very difficult, especially if you get in that area of being a judge on how people dress and talk and this and that. It's tough. And that's why I said it's agape love is hard to understand. But every now and then, we fall into it. I'm just going to put it that way. We fall into it in this unconditional love. You know, like I said, without even knowing that we're carrying it out, we do it. And the Lord gives us some examples. There's a parable in Luke 10:30-35. So if you'll turn there, you'll remember this parable as soon as we get to it. Luke 10:30-35. And we'll find out that the Lord always provides us an opportunity to love this way, this agape love that he's explaining to us here. Everyone there? And Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on the same road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt what? Compassion. There's the heart. Okay? He felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. So we see here the act of agape. That there was no judgment at all on the man. Now the other two who passed by him judged him. That's why they went around him and didn't do anything about him. And if you'll notice, these are prominent men. I mean, there's a priest and he walks around him. And then there's a Levite. Is he a Levite, the keeper of the law? Isn't he? Somebody help me here. Is that what a Levite is? Yeah, the keeper of the law. So he goes around him also. But the Samaritan, the ones that the Jews don't care too much for anyway, felt compassion. And we do that too. Every now and then we'll do the same thing without even second guessing anything. We just don't even think about it. We just react. We act upon it. And it's with compassion. Like, for instance, our outreach coming up in a couple of weeks. That's you guys' compassionate hearts that are coming to in fruition here. You're going to see it when we get out to the park and we see these people who are in destitution and they're hurting. And a lot of them are on drugs, of course. Yeah, we're going to know that. And a lot of them are going to be foul mouthed. We know that too. And a lot of them are going to smell. And we're going to know that too. But it's still, we are there to help them and to serve them and to have compassion and share our Lord Jesus Christ with them. So that opportunity we're going to have, and the Lord always provides that opportunity for us. Another one in Matthew 25:32, if you'll turn over there, read this. This is about the judgment. Any questions so far? Matthew 25:32-40. You guys will recognize these as soon as we read them. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a preparation. What a preparation that the Lord has already done for us. It's just sitting there waiting for us to show up. You know, if you'll remember in Romans, it says in Romans, I believe it's Romans 8, all creation is what? Everything that God is creating is not groaning. It's waiting. Waiting for who? For the revealings of the sons of God. That's us. when we're going to be revealed to all that God has created, and all of creation is waiting for us, and that's going to happen. Okay, and here he's saying it's already been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did this to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it unto me. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Now that part that says these brothers of mine, now he's referring to Jewish brothers at that time as he was teaching this. Okay. But when we go out, when we run into people, can you tell the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? Can't. Not at all. So whatever we do to the least of these, it's very important that we get that settled down in our hearts. Very, very important. So you see, there are examples of agape love, and like I said, we do it without even thinking about it. You know, we don't have it written in a note we carry around our pocket and go, "Oh, agape love day," you know, something like that. You know. So anyway, back to 1 Corinthians 13, please. Excuse me. We're going to read 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. Did he? Don't listen to him. So let's read the first three verses here, okay? verses 1 through 3. He goes, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So what's going on here? Something's in the way here. What is it? Yeah? Self? What else? What does self project? Pride? Yeah? Ego? Mm-hmm. This is what's in the way in these first three verses here. And there's more to it, too. If you go back to Galatians 5:26, we read this. Here, let me read it to you before you turn over there, because we're going to come right back to this. 5:26 says this, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Okay? That's what pride does to a person. And if you notice, in these first three verses, he says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels. So there is a, how can I put it? A working of spiritual things without spiritual baptism. Does that make sense? Does it? And that's what it's saying. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love. So there's the spiritual part. But people practice that. They do this. They want to be seen doing these things. Right. Exactly right. No power in it at all. It's just your pride and your ego and yourself in doing this stuff from the flesh. Now in verses 4 through 8, Paul explains agape love in a very unique way by what it is and what it is not. And we're going to see that. But first, I borrowed I borrowed, if you'll go to verse 13 in this chapter, I borrowed a devotion from Pastor Chuck Smith. I want you to listen to this wisdom that he has on faith, hope, and love. Now he said, he teaches this, faith, when all else falls apart, faith does what? When everything else falls apart in your life, what does it do? It endures. It sustains us. Our faith sustains us. Faith that God loves. Faith that God loves us. Faith that God is in control. That's our faith. That's it. And hope. Hope is the anticipation of what? Say it again. Yeah. Yeah. The good ending. That's our hope. When everything around us it looks bleak and hopeless, answer this question. How is it that Christians can have such a joyful outlook and hope for the future? When everything else around you is just falling apart. How can you have that? Yeah, we do. Yeah, have that faith and we have that hope. These three things. Mm-mm. No, and they're one. And we didn't have it until we came to the Lord and He saved us. We were the same as the world. Didn't have this. Didn't know anything. I didn't even know what faith even meant until I came to the Lord. And it was probably the same for you. I think it was the first time I ever heard the word faith was when I was in church. You don't hear that out in the world. At least I never have. And love, Paul said that the greatest of these is love. The heart of the Christian gospel is love. When we are called to love God supremely and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, God wants us to know and to offer agape love described in this chapter. All right? And we're going to get to that description right now in verses 4 through 8. Are there any questions so far or any comments you want to add to it? Okay. So verses 4 through 8. Check this out. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I want to stop right there. Wouldn't that make a beautiful song? If you put all that together, it would just make one beautiful song. It really would. So is there anything in those that caught your attention in all of this? Anything? No. It's dead. Self is dead. Right. It's about what? Our Heavenly Father. Yeah, He's love. Remember, we're supposed to imitate Him. What the scripture tells us to do. I just thought that, this is pretty unique as how Paul teaches this. He starts off, love is patient, love is kind. Yeah, we know that. But the rest of it, we have to be taught that in our spiritual growth, that these things are part of us too. And as we grow, these things increase in our lives. When we were younger Christians, well, sure, I had outbursts of anger. Go ahead. Provoked, right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, in our Christian walk, when we become born again, the provoke was still there. It would happen. It would almost be instant. Because like I said, I remember times when I was younger and would have those outbursts of anger and just get mad at somebody, for something that they said or did at church. And then, and here I'm doing the same thing, And I'm looking at people and I'm looking at them with the wrong eye and can't see their heart as the Lord does. That's something we can learn too. Because the Lord tells us whatever comes out of our mouth is in our heart. Yeah, it's there. So we know we can do that. So, but yeah, it's provoked and it causes anger. And if you see the next part of it, and it goes right along with it, does not take into account a wrong suffered. The provocation was a wrong suffered. And we don't take that into account anymore. Yeah, exactly right. See? So this, but it's, like I said, it's beautiful when it, when you put it all together, how this all works and how it works together. In verse 7 it says it bears all things. It believes all things. What does that mean? It believes all things. What kind of things? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can see that. Yeah, I agree with you. We believe all, and those all things I believe he's talking about is what's written here in the Word of God. We believe all of this that is written from front to back. And it goes on and says endures all things. So it makes no difference what we go through in our life. We have the ability to endure it, but we have the ability to endure it with peace and not anger. That's our ability. That's the ability that the Lord has given us, strengthened us with. Remember he said when he left, my peace I leave with you. I leave it with you. Didn't he? Yeah. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. And when the world sees that, they can't understand it. There is an opportunity right there to share your Lord with him, with whoever it was that God just opened the door right there, right then and there for it, for the gospel. Okay? Now, had you stop at love never fails, which is a very true statement, never does, because God is love and he has not failed yet. But we're going to see a series of a word here called but. Now, when you read this in the scriptures, something is going to change when we read this. So let's go through this, okay? The second part of verse 8 starts off, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For I know in part, and we prophesy in part. Why is it being done away? What's being done away with? What's leaving us? What is it? Huh? Well, yeah, I guess you could, but aren't these gifts? These are gifts that he just talked about. They're gifts of the Spirit. They're going to be done away with. We're not going to need them anymore. And we're going to find out what we're going to, you know, why. Where did I leave off? Oh, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. And now here's another but. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus. So what's done away with? What does the scripture say is done away? Not knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. We won't need that anymore. We'll know, we'll be as he is, we'll know what he knows. So we have spiritual knowledge here while we're on the earth, but once we're in his presence, we just have it. It's the same as his. look at verse 11. He says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly. So what's changing here? This is our spiritual growth, is what he's talking about. Okay? When I was a child, that's when we were first born again, okay? I used to speak like a child. In other words, I said things I had no idea what I was saying. had no knowledge of what it was at all. But what happens? I reasoned like a child. I tried to, you know, figure out what is God saying here? How come he's saying it that way? What's this about? You know, I wanted to know. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. You'll be spiritually mature as he is, as the Lord is. Go ahead, Mikey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be as he is. Yeah. And look how it goes on. It says, reason. I used to reason like a child. When I became a man, talking about maturity, I did away with childish things. In other words, your Christian maturity is going to come to a point where all this childish things that you were dragging with you through your growth is going to be gone. Right? That's the way I see it. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. Well, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense to me. We see in a mirror dimly. When I look at this, who do I see? You see Jesus. And also, I see me. And if I don't see me as the Lord sees me here that's written, then who's being seen? Gary, and not the Lord. And I see me dimly because as I grow spiritually, my old self is falling away and he's getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and away from me eventually until the Lord comes. And that's going to be our process as we go through this time. The real you is not seen yet. It's the only way I can put it. The real you is not seen yet because you're seen in the flesh. We're seeing each other in the flesh. We're not seeing each other in the spirit yet. Okay? So we see dimly. And look here. Now here's, but then, face to face, now I know in part, another but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Just what we just talked about. Okay? So spiritual growth here on earth just stops. It'll come to an end when the Lord comes and takes us out of here. Because we'll be like him. And our spiritual growth will stop. Now we're still going to be taught things in heaven. From what I remember in Revelations, there's still going to be Sunday school classes. And I've been taught that too. So if you read, I think you can read that in Revelations. I don't know exactly where that's at, but we will be taught things. Yeah, but we'll know things as he knows. Okay. I don't know if it's going to be an application type thing or what, but because there's still going to be a world here. There's still going to be lost souls here on earth. Right? Are we coming back with him? Am I correct? And we're coming back for the what's left here on the earth? Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we've been taught. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So what remains? Remember verse 13? Mm-hmm. What's the greatest? Love is the greatest. That's what remains. Yeah. Now, and Paul goes on in the next chapter in 14. He says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. But pursue love is what he's telling us. Pursue it. Go after it. You have the ability to ask Jesus to teach you how to love correctly. We have that ability. And he will teach us if we ask for it. And we're going to stumble and trip and let things come out of our mouth that shouldn't be coming out of it. So, but still yet, through that, we'll be taught how to love correctly. So that's the greatest ending for us. It's the greatest ending. What's going to happen to us? So get your ears tuned because you're going to hear a trumpet. You guys know what a shofar is? Shofar? Is that, am I pronouncing that right? Shofar? How do you say it, Manny? I see you're shaking. Shofar? Okay, shofar. It's a ram's horn. Okay, and they blow it. And that's what we're going to hear first. That's going to be the trumpet. That's the call of our Christians. So they're going to hear that first when the Lord comes. And then we'll be caught up with him in the twinkling of an eye. We'll see him in the clouds. And hopefully that's in the near future. Amen. All right. Is there any questions before we close this? Any comments? Now, the next one in this series is on humility. That's part of the crucified life, too. We're going to look at that next time. I know the pastor wants, if he's not here next Thursday to teach, he has a video that he wants us to see. So let's go ahead and go before the Lord and pray for one another. I know we don't have a list or anything like that, but we remember most of them anyway. So let's go ahead and go before the Lord and pray for each other.